Welcome to Richardson's Cove Baptist Church. We're glad to have you. Tune in with us and Dr. David Ayers from our Sunday morning worship service as we study God's Word together.
Wow. You feel them tinglies? That's from the Lord right there, ain't it? Get them tinglies going. A lady, she passed away, gone on to heaven when I pastored back at Roaring Fork. She called them the warm fuzzies. Amen. That's a good way to describe it when God moves on us. Feel the warm fuzzies. Well, I'm glad to be here today. Are you? I'm just glad to be here. Like both these men have said, you know, God has been so good to us. And He's blessed us. He's guided us every step that we've taken in trying to reopen things at church. And I'm not saying we're exempt from having a setback as far as illness goes. But right now, I feel like we're doing everything we can to try to be as active as we can, as safely as we can. We want to honor Jesus Christ. That's the goal. And He's blessing. He's taking care of us. And we're sure thankful for everything that He's done thus far. And we really pray not only for, you know, the next few couple of months to the end of this year, but we're praying for next year. What's going to happen? What's it going to be like? We want to be the church God tells us we need to be. That's who we want to be. So that's our goal. And I mentioned to a lot of you earlier how I kind of arrived at looking at the fruit of the Spirit. It seemed as though I was praying for what would be next to finish us out for the rest of the year. And kind of had the fruit of the Spirit on my heart already. And I prayed about it, came up to the altar one day early on in the week and said, God, what do you want us to do? Do you really want us to go through the fruit of the Spirit? Do you have something else? Let me know. I don't want to preach. I know it's all your word, but I want to preach what you give us, not what I want to preach. So went back and looked at the calendar, and there were exactly 9 Sundays left through November and December. And I was, there's my sign. I got it. So we're going to be looking at the fruit of the Spirit. Never done this before. I preached the entire verse in one service, but I've never broken down each element of the fruit of the Spirit. So that's what we're going to try to do. So that I hope that'll win you over. I hope we don't lose anybody because of that. That's where we're going to be for the next 8 weeks after today, looking at the fruit of the Spirit. If you'll stand with me, we're going to be in Galatians, obviously, and we're going to begin in verse number 16 all the way down to verse number 26. And I'm going to say, too, this scripture will probably get redundant through the next several weeks as well. Galatians 5:16, This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and the such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Father, we're thankful for this passage and how true it is that we need to walk in your Spirit. We need to walk in the Holy Spirit. God, we're thankful for your guidance every day of our life, every moment of our life. We're thankful for the precious gift of the Holy Spirit and the fruit that the Spirit desires to bear in our lives. Forgive my sins, forgive my faults and my failures, God, that today I would be fruitful, and I would be fruitful from the Holy Spirit that lives within me. that today I would glorify you in the areas that you've given me opportunity and will give opportunity to glorify you. I pray, God, that you will use us over these next several weeks to understand how important it is that we be Christ-like. Have your way, Jesus, in the remainder of this service. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. So today we're going to look at the first one. The first one's love. Isn't it a little bit ironic that the first part of the element of the fruit of the Spirit is love? It's not coincidence. You know, I think in even labeling the fruit of the Spirit, I think it's important. God had a reason for why he wanted him in the order that he had him in. I believe love is the key to everything. Don't you? I mean, seriously, love. Love is the key and the main element that affects every part of your life. Some of these others, gentleness, tolerance, and being in self-control, and long-suffering, those kind of things, they have their moments, obviously, and we're going to look at those, but I think in order for us to be whole and complete and have any hope for the future, it all stems from love. So I'm thankful that God put love as the first part of the element of the Spirit. There's a man named John Stott, S-T-O-T-T, and he prayed the majority of his Christian life. He would get up every morning. You guys talking about prayer, how fitting. And this is the prayer that he would pray every morning. He would say, "Father, I pray that this day I may live in your presence and please you more and more. Jesus, I pray that this day I may take up my cross and follow you. Holy Spirit, I pray that this day you will fill me with yourself and cause your fruit to ripen in my life." That's a pretty good prayer out there, isn't it? I mean, if I'm going to pray, if I'm going to do something consistently, how beautiful are those simple words to just pray directly to the Father, to pray directly to the Son, to pray to the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to clarify something here. Some people are weird about how they pray. Well, you have to pray to the Father through the Son in the Spirit. Okay, that's exactly right. Yeah, you do. We pray to the Father through the Son in the Spirit. There's nothing wrong with you talking to Jesus. There's nothing wrong with you talking to the Holy Spirit. They're all God. And I think collectively that's good. That's encouraging to me because the Spirit lives within me and he is a third part of the Trinity of God. I can pray to him as well as I can pray to the Father. I know that some folks will argue with that and feel as though when we pray we must gain an audience with the Father, and that's who our prayer goes to, and I'm not disputing that fact, but I don't want us to lessen who these other two parts of the Trinity are. We don't need to lessen who Jesus is. Jesus wasn't created when he was physically, took on that physical flesh and born there. He wasn't created. He has always been God. You talk to Jesus because you're talking to God. You talk to the Holy Spirit because he has always been present. You talk to the Holy Spirit, you're talking to God. So there's nothing wrong with inviting the Father, inviting the Son, and inviting the Holy Spirit to be a part of our lives. Because they are and they desire to. So I love that prayer, and I wanted to share that with you because mainly of what he said about the Holy Spirit. He said, "I want the Spirit, I want you to be filled within me so that the fruit you offer may ripen in my life." What's going to be the key and the main focus of these 9 weeks? We're going to look at these different elements of the fruit of the Spirit. Here's what they're all about, I think, in a nutshell. It is understanding how important it is that we be like Christ. It's important for us that once we get saved to be like Christ. Christ-likeness. That's the desire, that's the goal of this whole series, is to understand it, salvation is not one and done. It's not just one and done. Folks will get saved. We were even talking about it back in the office earlier this morning, and it's sad to say, but it's humorous in a way. I've had preachers in the past that have talked to me about people joining the church, people getting saved and following and baptized. And they said, praise God when people get saved. Be careful, though, when you baptize them. Why do you want me to be careful when I baptize somebody? Because you may never see them again. And I'm going to throw this out here. Statistically, there are a number of folks that when you see them get saved, once they hit the water and get baptized, they're good to go. You may never see them again. Maybe I need to prolong baptisms. No, we're not going to do that. But we need to understand the depth of the relationship after that moment of salvation. So in doing so, we're going to go through this word called love. We're going to begin with love. If we think about the fruit of the Spirit, and we try to relate, and I think it's beautiful, don't you, how God brings in these things we can relate to understand. When he wants to talk to an old farmer about God, what did Jesus do when he wanted to talk to him about spiritual things? We talked about planting seeds, how they got to die before they can spring life. If he wanted to talk to fishermen about the Lord, about being saved and about a right relationship with him, how did Jesus talk to them about catching fish and about drawing the net? So he's always related things that are common. These parables also are ways for us to understand these deep spiritual things. So the fruit of the Spirit, I think, is beautiful. Here's what we've got. We're the tree. You're the tree. We're all a tree. So think of us for these next 9 weeks that you are a tree. You exist. You have being. You take up space and you have purpose, okay? You have a root system. Trees, the longevity, the life, the production. What's going to happen with this tree is going to be directly affected by the strength of the roots. So we can't go. Have you ever gone up to a tree and just maybe smack it? Hey, start producing some apples. Shake those branches up here. Get with it. I don't think anybody has ever caused a tree to do more of what a tree is supposed to do by talking to it, by screaming at it, by hitting it, or rattling the leaves. If we want to affect what a tree is going to do, and have you ever seen these trees fall over? You know, you'll see them fall over. And you don't realize it's dead many times on the outside. I don't have a keen eye for trees. You know, I don't know which trees, what kind of trees. Sometimes they can look alive to me. I don't know. But all of a sudden they fall over, and you look and say, oh, I see. It's basically dead inside. Yeah, the tree fell over. It's dead. What happened? The root system was not connected into the proper soil. It wasn't getting the right nutrients and all those kind of things to help it to grow and be strong. So think about us as this tree. Okay, we're the tree. The roots got to be connected to who? I think we already know. It's the fruit of the what? The Spirit. We've got to be connected to the Spirit and allowing the Spirit to thrive within us. Then what's going to happen? We're going to branch out here and we're going to produce this fruit. It does not say fruits, plural. I always want to make note of that every time I talk about the fruit of the Spirit. To remind us, it does not say fruits, plural. It says fruit, singular. So we're going to get into a little bit more as we read on about expounding on that and all of these nine elements. So we'll look at that in just a moment. First thing I want to look at, though, in regard to love is this, the origin of love. Where does love come from? Are you able to love? Well, sure you are. You're able to love. Are you able to share love, to demonstrate love? Are you able to receive love? Sure we are. We're able to do all those things. But here's the thing. Where does this ability to love really come from? Well, it comes from one place. It comes from God, right? 1 John 4:7-8 says this, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God." Okay, this is pretty elementary, right? I mean, he's telling us exactly, and he closes with this, "For love is God." So outside of love, you know what? You don't understand love. Outside of a relationship with God, you do not have the ability to to demonstrate godly love. What is this word love defined as in this passage of Scripture? It means agape, A-G-A-P-E. That is the godly love that only God can give. There's another love. There are several definitions of love. One called filial love, which is a natural love that we have that's not tied to or necessarily related to the love God offers us. And they describe it as being the greatest love that is natural without being directly given by God, the agape love. The greatest natural love that can be had is the love a mother has for a child. That makes sense. Us daddies love our kids too, but we didn't give birth to those children. There's something different about that. There's something special, I think, in that relationship that a father is not really, he doesn't understand or not able to comprehend. You know, we're here, we're there, we're a part of the process, but we don't really understand. That's the deepest natural love that we can have outside of the love God gives, which is agape love, is filial love, a love a mother has for a child. So this kind of love is defined as agape. What does that really mean? It means this. It means brotherly love. It means a love feast, which is a pretty awesome way to describe it. And the word love itself means affection and benevolence. Affection and benevolence. So that's what he's talking about within this love. God demonstrates first love to us. Now, I know when you get in the Old Testament, I've been in the Old Testament and I've read, I don't see a whole lot of love at times, do you? As a matter of fact, it sounds like God's pretty brutal in the Old Testament. I mean, he's wiping out all these. What did he tell them? We read it not long ago about wiping out everybody. You go wipe out all the animals. You wipe out the infants. You wipe out the king and all the men and all the women, all the children, all the animals. I mean, when God laid it down, he laid it down. That don't seem like a lot of love to me. What we need to understand is we need to look at the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, in the context it is written, and understand that God dealt with mankind a little bit different than he does now under the age of grace. And there was a way that God demonstrated his love, and it was different than how we see today. God would get rid of sin because of the opportunities to sin many times in these pagan and ungodly nations because he loved his people so much and didn't want them to be affected by these things. He said, don't be unequally yoked. Don't jump in and be a part of all these other nations around you because it's going to affect you and destroy you. I love you, and that's why I'm doing these things to protect you. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, they hid themselves. And when they hid themselves from God, God came down in the cool of the day, was walking, and called for Adam and Eve, where are you at? And they hid themselves, and he said, what's going on? What are you doing? He said, we hid ourselves because we had sinned against you and done what you told us not to do. They sewed fig leaves to cover their nakedness. And what did God do? What did God do? It was the first thing he did was he took the life of an animal so he could use that animal skin to cover Adam and Eve. Somebody had to die. God took a life. God allowed a life to be taken because he loved Adam and Eve. In the midst of their sin, God loved them and God provided for them. We think that the flood was a big deal, and guess what? It was a big deal. And we think, how cruel could God be? All those people, they had an opportunity to trust God just like we have an opportunity to trust God. He chose that moment in time to say, I've got to reset here. This is a moment and a time to reset the world because I don't think we would be here today had God not reset at that moment and took that family, that small remnant of believers, and put them in that boat and saved them. We can look at that picture two ways. We can say, this is a story filled with nothing but disaster and death and bloodshed and chaos. Or we can say, God loved those righteous people so much that he saved them from ultimate doom. So we see all through the Old Testament especially, that God really does love us. And this is his expression to love. He created us. He gave us life. He forgives us, gives us opportunities to serve him. He even sent his only son, Jesus, to die on a cross for us. That is a beautiful demonstration. And the ultimate pinnacle of love that God has for us is seeing Jesus come and die on a cross for our sins. So love comes from God. God demonstrated love toward us. Now, what's the next thing? Is this gift of love. What does John 3:16 say? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Once we get saved and believe in Jesus, once we receive eternal life by believing in Jesus, what are we also given? We're given the ability now to love. Up until that point in my life, until I was 7 years old and I asked Christ into my heart, until that moment when I got saved, I could only demonstrate filial love, a natural love, a natural affection, until I truly received Christ into my heart and the Holy Spirit took up abode there. Then I was able to experience and express agape, godly love. You and I are able to do that now. Look at all the folks in the Bible, when you see them get saved, how instantly their lives change, and they change forever. It's not that we all of a sudden become perfect, but we're changed. Because now we have those roots in the right spot, in the right soil. We're getting the right nourishment, and we're getting fed the right things so that we're able to produce those things. Before, we were just a plant, a tree hanging out here in the wilderness. We had no hope of producing anything good. We were dead inside, regardless of how we may have looked on the outside. But when we get saved, we now have the ability to produce love. Zacchaeus, when he got saved, Jesus came to his house. You remember that story? Climbed up in the tree. Jesus said, I'm going to be at your house. Get down out of that tree. Get out of there, son, you know, and I'm coming to your house. And he got saved. He wanted to give back to everybody a hundredfold. I forget what the number was. But I want to return to everybody that I have wronged in stealing from their tax money. I want to make amends for those things I've done wrong. What is that caused him to want to do such a thing? Here's what happened. He got saved and he became fruitful in demonstrating the fruit of the Spirit, which one being, and I think the greatest of all, is love. Before he didn't have the ability, but now he has the ability. You got people that are lost in your world, people that are lost in your family, people are lost that you work with. Why do we expect them to actually be honest with us and be truthful with us and love us and have a concern for us? If you don't have the Holy Spirit, we can't love. But when we get the Holy Spirit, we have the ability and the potential now to love. What a dramatic change that happens in our lives when we get saved. You now have the ability to do something you never had the ability to do before. You can demonstrate love. How quick was the change that took place in Saul's life when he got saved on the road to Damascus? It was immediate, wasn't it? He was going to get a hold of a lot of those Christians. He wanted them in prison. He wanted them executed. He wanted them killed. And he was on his way to imprison them. And he met Jesus there. And Jesus said, look, it's me you're fighting, Saul. Saul was blinded. He couldn't see. He believed in Jesus that day. He got saved. And then when he was there in the home, and Ananias came and prayed over him, and the scales fell from his eyes. He was able to see. And he started preaching. The Bible says immediately he started preaching the gospel and the good news. Why? Because he all of a sudden had the Spirit of God in him, and he was able to demonstrate true love to those people that were around him. Now, this next one I think is important to us as Christians, because God first demonstrates love toward us, then God offers the gift of love to us, right? Now, the next step is for us to understand God expects us to love each other with that same gift, right? Okay, I've got a handful of verses right here I want to read to you from 1 John. If you want to jot these down and look them back up later, they're really important, they're really interesting. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 11 says this, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should, and listen to this, love one another, okay? 1 John 3, 17 and 18 say this, but whoso hath this world's good and seeth brother hath need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, How dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. 1 John 3:23. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. 1 John 4:11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to, you guessed it, love one another. 1 John 5:13. And this is what sums all of that up in that whole letter of the first letter John wrote. These things have I written unto you, that ye believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. We're that tree, remember? We're the tree. And God expressed love toward us by putting us in a place where we can possibly, potentially thrive and grow. God then gives us, offers us this gift of love through the presence of the Holy Spirit once we become saved and a child of God. So it's almost as if he takes us as a tree and plants us in this rich soil. And then we have this sun that's shining on us to bring us light and warmth so that we may grow. And we have water that comes and is poured and nourishes those roots all the way up through that tree, all the way out to those branches, providing everything necessary for us to be spiritually productive. And that's what happens. Now he says to us, I've offered you love. I've given you love if you've accepted my Son. Now I'm telling you to give yourself that same love to somebody else. It all has this effect. We're told to do this, and God says, now this is what's next. We are to love each other. I'm to love one another. When I got saved, I wasn't given 9 cards with each element of the fruit of the Spirit listed on a card. I wasn't given a love card. Here, David, I got saved at 7. The Holy Spirit didn't just come, oh, here's your love card. Put that in your wallet. You'll need that later. Just because the Holy Spirit lives within us doesn't mean I'm always going to demonstrate love. It means I have the potential to demonstrate love. It means I have the ability, which I didn't have before, to demonstrate love and all these other elements of the fruit of the Spirit. So I envision it like this. I'm that tree. In order for me to be productive, I got to be nourished by rich soil. I consider that rich Mother Earth to be that Word of God. I got to be enriched by this Word of God. I've got to be in that Word. I got to be reading it and studying it and looking at it. We think about the sun that brings nourishment to those plants and how when that sun pops up, those leaves just, they sometimes just open up, don't they? And it helps with that growth. And just how it feels for you and I when we step outside on a cool day and we feel the warmth of the sun on our face. Doesn't it feel wonderful? I think that's our prayers and our petitions and our praise in our relationship to the Father. And then that water that comes and brings that liquid nourishment and strength we need so that we can thrive. And I think that's water a lot of times have been a symbol of the Holy Spirit and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Those three elements must be prominent in our lives, I believe, in order for us to thrive and produce the fruit of the Spirit. It's not something that happens naturally and easily. Here's your love card. Here's your peace card. Here's your joy card. I can't pull them out when I need them. No, I've got to work and I've got to sacrifice. He said, if I want to follow you, Jesus said, if you want to be a follower of me, you've got to deny yourself, take up your cross once a week, once a month, daily, he said, and follow me. I must surrender daily and follow him. It requires work and devotion for us to be able to be fruitful. It's not that the tree is going to be any better of a tree, better looking of a tree. I've seen some ugly trees produce some beautiful fruit before, haven't you? Amen. It all has to do with what the tree's connected to. Where's the tree getting its life? What's it connected to? If we're connected to the Holy Spirit, if we're allowing Him to be lifted up in our lives, then here's what's going to happen. We're going to produce the fruit of the Spirit. I envision it first off as being 9 different types of fruit on one tree. I don't know that I agree with that anymore. I think it's more like, well, that makes sense to have one tree, 9 different types of fruit on the same tree. But I want to think that every element, all 9 elements are included in every piece of fruit that's hanging on the tree of a Christian. Here's how I envision it. And by the way, if I'm not where I need to be with Jesus Christ, if I'm not getting into that word, if I'm not praying and communicating with God, if I'm not receiving from Him, and if I'm not letting the Spirit, which we read to begin with, I'm not letting the Spirit lead me and guide me and following that Spirit, there is zero chance I'm going to demonstrate love in my life. So I can look at a Christian, you and I can look at a Christian, somebody that believes, tells us they believe in Jesus Christ, and you can look at my life. If I am not demonstrating love in my life, my problem goes back to where I'm rooted and what I'm not getting. I am limiting myself because I'm refusing to get the nourishment that I need. Man, I'm living on junk food. I'm not living on good stuff that's going to nourish me and strengthen me. I got to get into the Word. Amen. You can have zero effect in demonstrating love if I'm not where I need to be and allowing the Holy Spirit to live and thrive inside of my life. And He tells us right here, I need you to love other people. I need you to love each other. I need you to demonstrate that love to one another. It's not easy. It requires work. But my goodness, it is so worth it. If I'm living where I need to be, if I'm letting the Spirit live within me, then I'm going to naturally produce that fruit that needs to be produced. There's 9 elements of it. Do I have to demonstrate gentleness every day? Is that a mandatory thing? Is it mandatory that I be joyful every day? Here's how I view that. We're that tree again. We go back to that tree. We're fed and nourished in the right ways by the Spirit of God. And our relationship with God is healthy. Whatever's going on in your life, in that moment, whatever element of the fruit of the Spirit that needs to be produced in your life will be exactly what is produced in your life if you're where you need to be with Jesus. I mean, I know, folks, we can say, well, that person is so gentle, it's just part of their nature. They're gentle all the time. Well, maybe the reason we say they're gentle is because God is always allowing them to be put in situations where it's important that gentleness be seen in their life more often than not. Well, that person just seems to love everybody. Well, maybe that person's in a situation commonly where they need to demonstrate love more than joy or long-suffering or whatever it might be. Maybe we need to present goodness. I don't know what it is, but I do know this, that if we're where we need to be with God, whatever element of the fruit of the Spirit we need to demonstrate will be demonstrated when we're where we need to be with God. Now, the last I want to look at is some characteristics of what this love is all about. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, verse 1. We're not going to read all of that, but you read that entire chapter. We call it the love chapter, don't we? He says in verse number 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and I have not charity, which we know charity to be love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. If I'm living my life, if I'm a tree out here in the field in the forest somewhere, and if I'm not producing something, then my life is literally being wasted. If I've got an orchard full of apple trees, like Lawrence has over here on the hillside, had on the hillside, if those trees are not producing apples, then you know what needs to happen to that tree? What would you do to a bunch of trees if you had them and they weren't producing apples and you needed apples? What are you going to do? I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to cut it down. You might go in and prune it. You might shake up the roots a little bit. You may try to get its attention and say, I'm going to give you every opportunity I can to cause you to be productive, but I'm not going to give you forever. Then I'm going to cut you down. We wonder as Christians why, oh my goodness, why do I have to suffer so, Lord? Why is my life so difficult? It's almost easier for me before I got saved. Listen, the battle doesn't begin until you get saved. We need to understand that. It don't take rocket science to understand. If you're living in the house with just by yourself, it's all good. When somebody else moves in, when the Holy Spirit comes in, listen, then the spiritual warfare begins. It becomes a struggle and a challenge. We need to understand that struggle there. It does require work. The characteristics of love, he talks about it here. There's so many amazing things that love does and that love does not do. One thought I had was this. In summing up 1 Corinthians chapter 13, love is this. Love is crazy. Amen? You agree with me? Agape, godly love, is crazy. Why do you think it's crazy? You ever see young people in love? They're crazy. Seriously. They're crazy. Why do I say they're crazy? Because young men and young women do things they would never, ever do before until they fell in love with somebody. They wear all kinds of shirts, you know. I'm his, he's hers, I'm theirs. And they'll wear apparel. I mean, hey, young men will go places they would never go before. But that girl wants to go there, and he's going to go. Because, why? Because they're in love. Love will make us do crazy things. Love is crazy. And I think when you look at agape love and the love God has for us, what he wants us to demonstrate to other people, you look at some Christians at the things they do out of love and you say, you're crazy. I would never do that. Why are you doing that? Because I love. You're going to do things that you wouldn't naturally do, but the Spirit of God is going to lead you to do those things. So in a sense, yeah, love is crazy. And love has zero limits. Zero limits. Love has zero. There's nobody love can't get to. Meanest man in town, God can get a hold of their heart and see him get saved. I know you think about people in your life that you say, oh my goodness, don't do any good for me to talk to them. They're not going to hear a word I've got to say. Are you sure? If God's inspiring you to talk to somebody, witness to somebody, share to somebody, if God's encouraging you to say something, to give something as a gift to somebody, make a phone call, whatever it might be, and he's wanting you to do it out of love, do it because you have no idea what an effect that can have on somebody's life. Don't limit the power of love through your life to somebody else. And lastly, I believe that love is forgiving. You had to bring that up, didn't you? Had to bring up forgiveness. Love is forgiving. Ooh, this is hard to say right here, but I'm going to say it, okay? If I'm not willing to forgive, the Spirit is not thriving in my life. Yeah, but preacher, you don't know how bad they've wronged me. I don't think I have to know how bad you've been wronged. Let me set the record straight. Forgiving somebody is not accepting what somebody has done. I got a little education. It comes out every once in a while. It seeps out one ear. Forgiving somebody is not accepting what they've done, but it's allowing yourself to move on. If we're not willing to forgive, then we're not demonstrating the love that God demonstrates toward us. Because you know what? The worst sinner in the entire world, Jesus died for their sins. And he will forgive them instantly if they'll ask for forgiveness. Love. Do you demonstrate love? Do you understand what love really is now? Wow, love's a big deal. Love's not just giddy. Love's not buying candy for somebody. Well, that is some indications of love and effects of love. But love is unconditional. Love is what God gave us and now tells us to give it to the world. Let's be creatures. Let's be trees that produce love. Stand with me. We'll have a prayer and then our invitation song. Our Father, we come to you today as we begin this journey of breaking down these elements of the fruit of the Spirit, the first being love. We've heard about love so many times over the years, with so many sermons preached and lessons taught and books written about love, God. We don't want to lose sight of its importance, though. We don't want to miss, God, the importance of where it came from. It came from you. You are love. Outside of you, there is no understanding or comprehension of love. And that, God, you gave us and offered us love through your Son, Jesus. Now you give us the ability to produce and share love through the presence of the Holy Spirit. God, we're so thankful for this opportunity. And we pray that today, God, we'll get our hearts right with you where they need to be. That, God, we'll surrender ourselves to you. And we will love as you teach us to love. Have your way, Lord. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You come.
Thank you for joining us. Check out rcvc.us for worship times and ministry information. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Psalm 29:11. And from our church family, God bless you.